and welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Vayetzara. A couple of thoughts on this week's Parsha. Let me start with a simpler thought and move on to one that's a lot deeper. There's a beautiful part that I heard shamed above of the Rebbe, the Tzaddik Livracha, regarding the fact that we learn Kesef Kedushin from the beginning of the Parsha, from the Kesef of Ephraim. When Avram bought the Morris Masbel from Ephraim, he paid him Kesef, and we have a Hekish. We learn from there to Kicha Kicha Mesei Ephraim to Kedushin. The question is, why learn from such a strange place? To learn Kedushin from money which is spent to bury someone, and from money which is spent with a person like Ephraim, why should that be a source? What remnant is there in the fact that there is a source from Ephraim to marriage? And the Baba Rebbe said a very elegant word. He said that when Ephraim sold the Maris Machpela to Avraham, each side in the deal was very excited. Ephraim was sure that he was making a killing. He was sure that he was getting the deal of his life. For this rocky field, he was getting top dollar, and he was getting money like Rav Asaycher. Ephraim was certain he was getting the better part of the deal. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, knew that this was not an ordinary field. He knew that the Maris HaMachpelah, which was in this field, contained the remains of Adam and Chava. There was a place of special Kedusha. So even though Avraham paid Abba Meir Shekel Kesef Oiva L'Asecher, but he knew that he was getting a great deal. So that the Kesef of Ephraim was unique in that each side felt that it was getting the better of the deal. And this is a remnant for marriage. Marriage should be the same way. When a couple gets married, the ideal thing is that each side feels that it's getting the better of the deal. It's getting the good deal. It's getting something very, very special. There's a beautiful remnant from here to Kesef Kedushin. This is a part from the Baba Rebbe. I'd like to move on to a part from Rav Schwab here on the Parsha, which is not just a part on the Parsha, but as is generally the style of Rav Schwab, it's a yisayit omok ma'ayin, a very deep yisayit which answers questions beyond those here in the Parsha. Let me start with the question with which Rav Schwab begins, which relates to this week's Parsha, and add a few other questions which will be answered with this same yisayit. Rav Schwab asks regarding the Nisayin of Avraham Avinu. Most Rishayim count the Akedah as the 10th Nisayin, the final Nisayin. Yet, the Gemara Bava Basra, Daf Tezvav, tells us regarding the greatness of Avraham that there was an element of Nisayin here as well, that Avraham Avinu had been promised all of Eretz Yisrael, and yet when he needed a plot of land in which to bury his wife, he had to pay top dollar. The Gemara says, still, he was not Mahirer here after the Midas of Hashem. And the Gemara certainly seems to say that this is a Messiah. There are a number of Rishayim that count this as the 10th Messiah. Upon with the approach of most Rishayim, the question is, what exactly was different about the Messiah here in the purchasing of the Maris HaMachpelah? In addition, Rav Schwab says, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already earlier found the heart of Avraham Ne'eman L'Fanecha, found it to be complete. So what is left to do here in this Messiah? What is left to prove? So these are the questions regarding this parsha. There are other questions when we deal with the idea of Nesiyainais and what they're meant to accomplish. We know that a malach, an angel, does not have a Yetzara. Yet we find the concept of Nesiyainais and Yimei Hadin for malachim. Malachim Yechafezun, Tchilu Ra'ada Yechafezun, Yoyim Ruhine Yoyim Hadin. The malachim themselves tremble for Yoyim Hadin. What's the din about? Or, V'chula Mekabla Malayim Oil Malcha Shemayim Zemizem. We know that malachim have an idea of Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim. For what? They don't lack in Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim at any moment. So this is the second question with which Rav Schwab brings. The third similar idea, which Rav Schwab does not mention here in the parasha, but which is almost identical in its difficulty. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos on Daf Kuf Nun Aleph relates regarding Yemais HaMashiach. time in which there are, it is not an opportunity for Zchus Chayiv. V'kiyu shonim asher toimer ein li b'hem chayfetz, ein li b'hem Mashiach, she'ein b'hem lo Zchus v'lo Chayiv. But the Gemara seems to be saying that in the days of Mashiach there's no Zchar v'Einish anymore. Because there will be no Yetzirah. It'll be easy to serve the Rabbi Nishalayim. In such circumstances, of course, there would be no Zchar and Einish, no reward for doing the right thing. There are a number of difficulties with this. The first one being, what is the purpose of Yemais HaMashiach? If there is no Nisayan, if there is no Zchar v'Einish, well, we don't do things for reward, but there has to be a purpose in people going through the motions of Kiyum HaMitzvah in Yemais HaMashiach. But more difficult is that the Rambam, at the end of Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Dalet, writes regarding Yemais HaMashiach that Leinisabu HaNavim HaChacham LeYemais HaMashiach LeKidei SheYishlutu HaKol HaOlam LeKidei SheYerdu BaGoyim LeKidei SheYinasu Oisav HaAmin LeKidei LeChav LeLishtes LeSmayach LeKidei. Rambam is saying, why did Nevi'im HaChachamim want very much that Mashiach should come? It's not for any side reason. Ela kadei, only for the following reason. Sheyiyu pinuyim b'tayra l'chachmasa, v'lo yiyya lahem, noyges u'mabateo, kadei sheyizku l'chaya olam haba. That the reason that v'yim ha'chamim, we desire Yemais HaMashiach, is so that we could be basic in Torah properly, kadei sheyizku l'chaya olam haba. That sounds like reward. So that we should be zecha to olam haba, how we zecha to olam haba in that period of time. These are three difficulties. The difficulty regarding Avraham Avinu, regarding Malachim, regarding Olam Haba, all a very similar difficulty. Rav Schwab here in the parasha has an extraordinary suggestion as to what actually these Nisyanis are. Rav Schwab says that there are two types of Nisyanis. The typical Nisyan is the Nisyan between good and evil. That's a typical Nisyan. Will a person sin, or will he refrain from sin? Will he do a mitzvah, or will he fail to do the mitzvah? That certainly is a typical Nisyan of Olam Hazeh. And the Asara Nisyanis of Avraham were likely that type of Nisyan. Will he go to the Akedah, or won't he go to the Akedah? Subsequent to that, there is a greater level of Nisyan. There's a Kedah of Nisyan, where a person certainly will do what is right. He certainly will be by Herbatayim. But there's an Nisyan, the Echus Abaydasam, and the quality, and the Zvizos, and the devotion, which a person attaches to the Kiyum HaMitzvah. In other words, the way I would phrase it is that there's one Nisyan in a battle between Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. And there's another Nisyan in the Yetzer Tov itself. How devoted the Yetzer Tov is, how devoted the person with this Yetzer Tov is in Avaydas Hashem. Rav Schwab says that then the Nisyan is the Nisyan of Malachim. The Kul and the Kabbal and Malayim, they all go every day in a Makabal, all Malach Hashemayim, Zemizeh. Why? Because they have to rededicate themselves to do the Ratzon Hashem, the Chokayach. And on that, there's also a Zchar V'Einish. That was Avraham's Nisyan. Avraham's Nisyan, and Afilah Hachi Layir, Hasrei Midai Zay. Of course, there was nothing he was going to do differently. But the quality and the way in which he went about doing it not reluctantly, not with a chip on his shoulder, but going ahead and doing what had to be done, that was the Nisyan of Avraham. That's the Nisyan of Malachim. And I would add, that's the Nisyan of Yemais HaMashiach. It won't be a Yetzirah. But what type of devotion will a person have to his Liman HaTayret, his Kiyum Mitzvahs? That will still be a measure of Nisyan for every person. Rashi Rabbi adds a very touching piece. He says, Satan mekatrek b'shasa sakana. We know that Satan, during times of danger, is mekatrek. He complains to the Rabbi Nishloim about the way people are responding. Now, Pashup Shad, is Satan mekatrek b'shasa sakana. When a person is in danger, the Satan reminds the Bezah Shomayla of a person's sins. Rashi Rabbi suggests an additional shot, an additional idea. Satan mekatrek b'shasa sakana. When a person is in a time of difficulty, in a time of challenge, the Satan takes at the way a person responds. When a person has a danger, a person has some physical problem, some materialistic problem, some problem that I don't understand, when a person comes to that type of situation, he has to use that opportunity
Rashi
tells us that when Avraham Avinu left the Akedah, he started to worry about the Shidduch for his son. And at that time, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that Rivka should be born. Of course, 3 years later, they got married. However, the language that Rashi employs says that the Rabbeinu Shalom told Avraham, he informed Avraham that Rivka was born. This way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should know the Rivka Basugai. He was told. If he was told, where is he sending Eliezer? He should have said, go get Rivka. Now, of course, it could be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just said, the Zug of Yitzchak is born. It was born. Fine. But if that's the case, when Eliezer asks that his daughter be the Shidduch for Yitzchak, as Rashi brings, why does Avraham say to him, no deal, ain oror mistabik b'baruch. You're from a cursed family, and we don't do Shidduchim with you. Why did Avraham have to speak harshly? Avraham should have said, God spoke to me and told me that my son Shidduch is already born, and